turn to the book of Jude, little book of Jude. If you don't know where that's at, just turn to the book of Revelation, last book in the Bible, hang a left, and you'll come to it. I don't know why the preacher put me up behind someone like Brother Boatner. I mean, he's your Lord. Kind of like I heard somebody say not long ago, they said this colored woman washed her clothes and put them out on the line. And somewhere along the way, the line drooping in the middle finally caved in, fell. All the clothes on the ground. Then the young'un come around the corner of the house chasing the dog. And the dog just all over the clothes. So she just looked at him and said, "Lord, he done walked over everything I had." So that's how I feel following him around the boat. He done walked over everything I had. So, let's read just two verses tonight, and let me say a few things here from these two verses. Verse number one, the book of Jude, the Bible said, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied." Thank you. You may be seated. They say that there's at least five Judes in the Bible. I've tried to decipher all that. Not sure I've got it all figured out, but those that know much more than I ever hoped to know say there's at least five. And scholars seem to agree that this particular Jude is the brother, the sibling of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it is, he went from a sibling to a servant. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? To become a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. For years, I wouldn't read the book of Jude and the book of Ecclesiastes. I had a deacon once who said those were his favorite books. And I walked up on the porch one Sunday morning. It was a beautiful Sunday morning. And the weather was just outstanding. It was just a beautiful day. And he is one of the most depressing people I've ever been around in my life. Good man, give his shirt off his back. But I walked up, spoke to him, shook his hand, hugged his neck, and I said, "Well," I said, "it's a beautiful day, isn't it?" He said, "Huh." He said, "Good men die on pretty days." So I've always shied away from the book of Jude and the book of Ecclesiastes. Because I figured if it did it to him, it might do it to me. But on the last few months, and really just in the last 2 years at the most, I have had an interest in the book of Jude. It is a deep book. It is a dark book. And it's talking about difficult times. And we need not look for those times to come. They're already here. As a matter of fact, everything we've been taught, I've been taught anyhow, and I've held dear to my heart ever since I've been saved, seems to be unraveling before our very eyes. The church is suffering tonight. As a matter of fact, it's suffering from false worship that has crept in, fallen leaders, and it is suffering from foolish programs. Spiritual idolatry, social insanity, and sexual impurity seem to be the norm in our congregations today. And people dare the preacher to say anything about any of them. And when he does, he usually is the one that has to move his furniture rather than them move theirs. I have been where I am for 23 years, and until God moves me, I've told my folks it's a lot easier for them to move their letter than it is for me to move my wife's furniture. And I think I'll just keep getting my mail where I've been getting it. And the book of Jude, when you just look at it at face value, it seems to jump out at you as a difficult book. You'll find in verses 3 and 4 that it talks about us as we keep on warring. James, Jude said, I was going to write to you about the common salvation, what we've all got in common tonight. But when I got there, the Lord changed my message. I felt it was needful that I write to you to earnestly contend for the faith. He said, just keep on warring. Keep on warring. And then in verse number 5 through 11, he tells us to keep on warning people. And he talks about these angels that have fell from their first estate, Sodom and Gomorrah. And dear Lord, are we not in trouble tonight with that crowd? I'm not an Eddie Bishop supporter. Eddie Bishop Long, is that his name? What's his name? Eddie Long. Bishop Eddie Long. I got all that mixed up, didn't I? I'm not a supporter. It won't shock me if he's guilty. It won't shock me if he's not. But I do know the lawyer that is behind all this is a self-professed lesbian. And the agenda behind this situation is not Eddie Long's wrongdoing as much as it is a homosexual agenda. And I may have told y'all, but I've told our church years ago, they're going to come after that crowd first, because that's what they see as the church when it's not, before they get to us. And he tells us we better keep on warning in those verses about this Sodom and Gomorrah crowd. They want your children, and they want your grand. They'll never get me. They'll have to crucify me. But they want your children. They want your grandchildren. And then there is that in this. I was safe to say that just a minute ago, wasn't I? I mean, okay. I know I am with you. And then he tells us in verses 12 through 19 that we ought to just keep on walking. He tells us that we ought to just. He talks about these that have their feasts of charity and how they're just dead, like raging waves of the sea. But he says in verse 16, these ain't nothing but murmurers and complainers. They walk after their own lusts. He said, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken by before the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. But he tells us in verse 20, we ought to, beloved, build up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Just keep on walking, Jude said. Walking right. Amen. And then he tells us in the latter verses, they ought to just keep on working, trying to make a difference in verse 22. That's all I'm interested in tonight. Just try to make a difference. If I can make a difference in one person's life, that's all I'm interested in tonight. Just make a difference. But in verses 1 and 2, if I've got this correctly, he tells us in these verses to keep on wandering. Not wandering around, but wandering. Keep on living in awe about what Jesus has done for you. And that's where we lose it. That's where it all begins, is when we forget what He's done for us. And we forget what He is doing for us. And what He's going to do for us. And so tonight, that's what I want to preach on for just a few minutes. I want to preach on keep on wandering. Keep on wandering. Look with me in verse number 1. The Bible said, first of all, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And if I've got my theology messed up tonight, I don't mind you telling me. Just wait till I'm done and then tell me. But he said we're sanctified by God the Father. And then he says we're preserved in Jesus Christ. But then he adds this little word, this little conjunction, and called. Well, he's included God the Father, and he's included God the Son. And I believe tonight, and I don't think I'm doing the Scriptures no harm when I say And in verse number one, the latter part, and the call, that is a third act that God has done, I believe is the act of the Spirit of God. That's God the Spirit doing the calling. So first of all, I want to mention the act of God the Spirit, the summons of the Spirit of God, or the call to our heart. The Bible said we're called. Romans 8:28 said that we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and are the called. The called according to His purpose. Now we're referred to by the Bible in many ways. We're referred to as sheep. I'm reading a book now entitled "They Smell Like Sheep," and we are referred to as sheep. We are referred to as servants. We're referred to as stones. We're referred to as branches in a vine. We're referred to as a bride. We're referred to as a building. And on I could go tonight, but here, and even in Romans 8:28, we are referred to as the called. Now, I'm not real bright. I'm not the brightest person here tonight. I know that. But I do know that this word called means to call out to somebody who is at a distance. And I do know that if you have to call to someone who's at a distance, you're going to have to do it pretty loudly. When I was growing up, unlike today, we would, in the summertime, leave out the door, go out the screen door in the front of the house at my grandmother's, and we'd go across First Avenue, go through the woods, cross through the woods, cross First Avenue, where they have now got a nice park built on First Avenue down at the creek, which used to be, and was for years, a kudzu patch. And we would stay in that kudzu patch all day long. Now, my nanny and papa said they loved us, and I believe it, but they never did check on us. We were out there all day long. Nobody had ever come across 2nd Avenue, never come through them woods and cross 1st Avenue and come down in that kudzu patch to check on us. But those were different days. And all day long we'd be out there. But about 5:30, my nanny would step out on the front porch and she'd open the screen door and she'd say, "Supper!" And when we heard her through the woods, across the road, through the woods, and across 1st Avenue into the kudzu patch, we'd hear her. And it's because we were far away. She wouldn't have done that if we'd been standing on the doorsteps. But she did that because we were way out yonder. And I want to say to you tonight, that's exactly what God did for us. The Holy Spirit knew where we were, way out yonder. And thank God one day He came out on the front porch of glory and opened the screen door and said, "Supper!" And that's the only way a man can get in. Because mankind, humanity, is not near to God, close to God, but far away. And so God is in the business, first of all, by the Spirit of God, summonings our heart, the call to the heart. What does He call us? Well, number one, He calls us out. He calls us out of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. There is a general call tonight that's going out. I believe in that. I believe in preaching whosoever will and all of those things. I believe there is a general call. I love to preach. I'm called to preach, first of all. Love to preach. Love to hear good preaching. There's a general call that goes out. Men are preaching all over this country, this world, with a general call. But there is an effectual call of God that only comes by the summoning of the Spirit of God in our lives. Do you remember the day when God reached you where you were? Somebody said, "Well, how do you know it's Him?" Oh, you'll know it's Him. He got a voice like nobody else has got. And He can speak like nobody else can speak. Amen. He called us out. Aren't you glad? We've been called out of this world soon. But number two, He not only calls us out, He calls us over. He didn't just call us out of something, He called us to something. Matter of fact, salvation is not quitting a bunch of things. You can quit drinking, quit smoking, you can quit hanging around with the wrong crowd, you can do all them things. But genuine salvation is when you hear the call, you come. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Are you laboring and heavy laden tonight? If you're not, you'll not come. Hello? He said, "Whosoever will." Are you willing tonight? If you're not, then you won't come. But if you're willing, you'll come. And if you're heavy laden and burdened, you'll come. And He's called us to something. Salvation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a personal work of God that changes our life and direction in life. If you're still doing the same old things and never feel guilty about it, you never got saved to begin with. God will not save you. As a matter of fact, let me say this, the more light God gives you, the more responsibility and accountability God holds you to. God won't give a man light and let him walk out of it and get by with it. Amen. Calls us out, but He calls us too. And then He calls us on. God didn't call us to stay on first base, but He called us to pursue a relationship with Him. You say, "Well, preacher, I have believed, I have repented." Well, I'm still believing. I'm still repenting. Until a man's repentance is as well known as his reproach, he will not be accepted. First Peter chapter 1, verse 10 said, "Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." That's pretty powerful stuff. You know, we're blessed tonight that God would even consider us. We're sitting under a fine tabernacle tonight, sitting on good benches. Got natural air conditioning. And it's working well. My toes got cold last night. I can handle it. When my toes get cold, I'm cold. Huh? But I like the natural air conditioning, don't you? We're amongst probably some good people here tonight. Boatner's here. Brother Ken's here. I consider these precious people to me. Wonder why God even put His crosshairs on us. Reckon why? Huh? We're blessed. That's all I'm trying to get you to see tonight. We're blessed. We're blessed that He allowed His Spirit to issue a call, a summons to mine in your life. Now watch this. If I'm wrong, then I'll just let the Lord help me here. To them that are sanctified by God the Father, summoned by the Spirit of God in my heart, but sanctified by God the Father in our heart. The little word sanctified, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. It means God's little set apart ones. It means God's little set aside ones. Now, when I set something aside, it's for me. Amen? I came home the other day from Atlanta with a half a dozen plain Krispy Kreme donuts and three cream filled and three sour something donuts, sour cream donuts. Well, it wasn't until the day after that anybody else found out where they were. And when they were found, they said, "Why are they in here?" I said, duh. I intended for him to be that way. That's selfish, preacher. No, that's just, I like Krispy Kreme donuts. But the thing is, they were sanctified. But the problem is, other people like them too. And I knew that. I'll tell you, God's done something for us. God the Father set us aside as little ones to Himself. Now, I don't have time to deal with all this, but let me just give you quickly some ways He sets us aside. Number one, He'll do it by designation. I thought about old Hannah and Eli and Samuel. You remember Hannah, how she prayed for a baby? God gave her a son, Samuel. Now, you fellas got all this figured out. Y'all help me. But why in the world did she turn around and send this little boy back to the temple to live with a preacher who's backslid? Sexual immorality and impurity among his sons was well known in the church. And he'd mount the pulpit every day with them boys sitting on the front row. And he would not deal with his own children's sin. And the church was nonetheless not blessed by a preacher who was unwilling to deal with sin, especially in his own family. He turned his back and closed his eyes on his own sons and let them do anything they wanted to in the church building, including sexual immorality. Why would any mama take her baby to a preacher like that and say, "You keep him"? I don't have the answer to that question. When God called Samuel that first time, Samuel thought it was Eli. So Samuel got out of bed and he went in there and asked Eli about it. Well, Eli was so backslid, he didn't even know it was God calling Samuel. As a matter of fact, it took three times. Did it not? For it to ever dawn on Eli that there's a good possibility, since he's hearing voices, and it ain't mine, it might be God's. And he said, the next time you hear it, just say, "Hear my Lord." I really believe Eli just throwed that out. I don't think he had no genuineness about him. I think he just throwed it out there. Pseudo-spirituality is what you call it. But here's the point I want to make. God the Father, if He ever sets you apart, as He is, now you can do this whatever you want to, but I'm going to just preach it the way it is. I don't care how dark the place is where your child is. There's people here tonight that's got children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren going to churches that you don't no more want them there. You wouldn't have them under that preacher. You know things that you know's not right. You know they're not teaching the right things. You know that they're not doing the right things. But friend, let me tell you something. God can reach into the darkest places on planet Earth and separate and sanctify anybody. Boy, did God do a work in Samuel's life. So what I'm saying tonight is don't give up on them now. Don't throw in the towel on them now. No. Keep praying for them. Keep pulling for them. Because God can do a work even in the dark places. If He designates somebody to this sanctification, they are going to be sanctified. Amen. He not only designates them, but thank God there comes a time God does it by design. I don't understand all of the things that have gone on in my life, and I don't really want to know everything that's gone on in your life. But I guarantee you there's things that's gone on in our life. If we look back on it, God was designing everything to get me and you where we are tonight. Amen? You say, "Oh, preacher, I just don't know about all that. I'll just be like old John on the Isle of Patmos. Been balled and all, thrown out there with a bunch of rapists and murderers and thieves and had nowhere to go to worship, but come the Lord's day without anybody else to meet with him, he broke out in constant praise of holy, holy, holy Lord God, Almighty." That's that Almighty business is El Shaddai. Shad is the singular of Shaddai. Shaddai is the plural of Shad. Shad means single-breasted. Shaddai means multiple-breasted God. There's a place in God's breast for everybody who wants to come. John said, "Oh, may not be nobody but me, but thank God you've made arrangements for everybody." Huh? He does it by design. He does it by designation. He'll do it by desire. I have learned as a preacher, as a pastor, I don't care what people... matter of fact, I don't even ask my folks to bring their problems to me no more. Don't talk to me about them. Because every time they come, I never tell them what they want to hear, and they've already decided what they're going to do before they get there. And then when I tell them and they don't like it, they go ahead and do it anyhow. And so why waste my time? I go fishing like you do. I'll go ride a motorcycle like you do. Don't waste my time if you're not going to do what I tell you to do. I've learned people do what they want to. Did y'all hear what I said? People do what they want to do. Now, you may have to make a lot of muck and buck a lot of things. But I don't tell you, dead fish float downstream. And if God ever puts a desire on the inside of you, you're going to buck the stream. Because dead fish get nowhere. They just go with the flow. But one that's alive will go upstream every time. And I don't know how you are, where you are, what you are, but I ain't satisfied tonight. I hadn't been satisfied for a long time. I'm still trying to buck the stream and go upstream to find some fresher water. And I want to tell you, if you've been sanctified, God's put a desire in you. People say, "Pretty, it's hard for me to get up and go on Sunday morning." Well, it ain't for me. It's hard for me to get up and go on Monday morning. Sunday morning's not a problem. I want to get up on Sunday morning. I want to go to church on Sunday morning. I want to preach on Sunday morning. Somebody asked me the other day, "Y'all got Awanas at y'all's church?" And if you got it, I don't care. I'm just telling you, we ain't got. But I told them, "Yeah." They said, "Do you really?" I said, "I do. I want to get up and go to church. I want to preach. I want to hear the songs. I want to see people saved. I want to shout. I want to praise God. I want to worship God. It's in me." God the Spirit has summoned us. God the Father has sanctified us. Preserved in Jesus Christ. Preserved. That's my security. The little word preserved is the same word in the book of 1 Peter. Kept. Kept. It's used again in verse number 6. In the word kept of this book, and the angels which are kept, they are reserved, preserved. In verse number 13, it's used again, where it says that this crowd is reserved. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? They are preserved for that day. Verse 24, the Bible said, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Keep you. Well, I like that word, don't you? It's the same word used over here, preserved, in verse number 1. Now, I used to think the book of Jude was all about the dark people. And there are some creepy people mentioned in here. Verse number 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares. You'll find more creepy people at church than you will anywhere else. But I noticed that here he's talking about brethren. He said in verse 3, he said, beloved. Now that's not devil talk. That's God talk. Family talk. Verse number 17, but beloved. Verse number 20, but you, beloved. That's family talk. He's talking about people and two people whom God has put in the family. Well, I'm so glad tonight God summons me one day by His Spirit. And I'm glad God considered me His so much that He set me apart, sanctified me, made me one of His little ones. But I'm glad Jesus Christ become my security. Amen. You say, how does He make us secure? Well, first of all, He does it by principle. By principle. Peter said, we are kept by the power of God. I won't tell you tonight, I wouldn't keep me. Now, you may feel more self-centered than that, but I wouldn't keep me. I got up the other Sunday morning, and I flipped the TV on while waiting for Miss Gail. Since she's not here, I'll tell you, I spend half my life waiting on her. And so I was sitting in there waiting on her this Sunday morning, this particular Sunday morning. I flipped the TV on, and it just automatically came on a fishing show. And I'm this is not false humility. I really don't know nothing about fishing to amount to a whole lot, and I really don't think nobody else does. I think if you catch them because they're there, I do not believe that you in any way summons them. I think you just happen to have dropped it in the right spot on the right day, and you probably will never convince me so no different, so don't try to tell me no different. But I don't know anything about it. And this fellow was what they call a fishing a tournament. And just about time I turned it on, he was on the front of that boat, and his rod was bent over like this. I mean, plumb pointing back at him. And Gail said, I'm ready. I said, you'll have to wait just a minute. Because I didn't know what was on there, but I knew it was something big, and I wanted to see it. And he fought that thing, trying to keep it from going under the boat and everything. I could hear him talking about somebody get the net. And finally, he pulled this rascal up, a big old big-mouth bass. I mean, he's about this long. I got no idea how much he weighed, but I just know he's about that long. And all of a sudden, I seen him. He's holding that thing up, looking at it, you know, and looking at it. And I thought, man, don't, whatever you do, keep it. I ain't never caught nothing like that. If I'd have catch something like that, it'd be hanging on my wall. I ain't never caught nothing like that. I'd go fishing with people and be there all day long, never catch nothing. I ain't never caught nothing like that. Well, I seen him. He went over here to what somebody finally told me was what they call live wells, bait wells, what do you call them, live wells. And he opened this thing up, holding this fish. He opened it with his left hand. He reached down and pulled up another fish, held them up side by side. Well, listen, he pulled out of that well, wasn't more than an inch shorter than this one right here. I'm standing there saying, man, keep it! Keep it! And all of a sudden, he throws that one in the water. And I'm standing there sweating by now. And he puts that one in the well. Man, I just flicked it off, shook my head. I said, yeah, the man's crazy. But you see, he knew what a keeper was. You see, that's our problem. Matter of fact, preacher's got a big problem here with this. Well, if we can get one more member, if we can just get one more member, we can get one more dollar, we can support one more missionary. I tell you, I have picked a lot of them up and put them in the live well. They wasn't keepers. Did you hear what I said? They wasn't keepers. I don't know what keepers are. All I'm trying to do is just throw the bait out there. And I don't know what a keeper is. I wouldn't have kept me. I wouldn't keep you. But thank God the day he snagged me, he held me up and said, it's a keeper! It's a keeper! He said he kept us! He could have thrown us away! But he preserved us! We're kept by principle. We're kept by a person. Now he could have said anything. In the Son, in Jesus, in the Lord, in Christ. But he said we're kept in Christ or Jesus Christ. Huh? Why did he say that? So we would know that this was a different person than anybody else. The name Jesus here, and the name Christ here means something. And I won't tell you about it in a minute, but he tells us that we're kept in a person. And the person is the person of Jesus Christ. I was at a church not long ago over in Alabama. And I'd been there for 2 days, and I'd noticed there was a little bit of a hesitation in the meetings every night. Just couldn't get past it, man. Just like trying to get a truck stuck out of the mud, back and forth. Well, I knew they was fixing to tear the old building down. They was going to build them a new building right out there. And preacher hadn't said nothing to me. And the same woman been coming down 2 nights. She come down 3rd night and went right over at that same bench right over there. And but she carrying on. I thought she was really broke and really, something was really going on between her and God. So I'd told the preacher that second night. I said, well, preacher, somebody needs help that woman. I said, I don't know what God's doing to her and doing with her, but she's over there broke, man. He said, preacher, if she comes tomorrow night, said, you just kind of slip up over her close and listen. I wished I hadn't. There are some knot holes in the back of the bench right there. And her granddaddy and her daddy had made them old homemade benches. Oh, Lord, she is down there weeping in the cave. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, I got saved right here in front of these knot holes in my daddy. And my granddaddy said, oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do if they tear this place down. Oh, Lord, help me. God. I would never disrespect your daddy and your mama, and I'd never disrespect your granddaddy and your grandmama, but you are not preserved tonight by your mama and your daddy. And you are not preserved tonight by your granddaddy and your grandmama. As a matter of fact, the knot hole didn't have nothing to do with you getting saved. As a matter of fact, the knot hole won't do nothing but let you stick your finger in it and get it stuck. A knot hole is a knot hole. Amen. And she's a bigger knot hole than the knot hole. Yeah. I'm just trying to tell you, Jesus Christ is keeping you tonight. If you walk out of here and die before you get home, if you live a few seconds in the emergency room, don't call for mama. Talk to Jesus.
He's keeping you.
Kept by principle, we're kept by person. Thirdly, we're kept by power. Jesus Christ. Jesus means deliverer. Jesus means Savior. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. The name Christ means sent one, anointed one. That one come down from heaven. He is Christ, the sent one, the superior one. He's our Savior. All power. I've been summoned by the Spirit of God. I've been sanctified by God the Father. And I've been secured by Jesus the Son. Now watch verse number 2. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Jude's praying for multiplication in our life. We think this thing operates on addition, when really it doesn't. It operates on multiplication. The math side of my brain is black. I've never figured out why you have to put numbers with the alphabet to come up with anything. All I know is a $1 bill, $5 bill, $10 bill, $20 bill, $50 bill, and that's about as far as it goes for me. And I'm not real bright. 4 plus 4 equals 8. Is that right? That's addition. Let's multiply. 4 times 4 equals. And I ain't too bright. 8 plus 8 is. So if you'll multiply 4 times 4, you'll come up with twice as much if you add 4 plus 4. Is that right? God won't do twice as much as me and you will and let Him. He's in the multiplying business. We're always trying to make sure the wrong one don't come in, the right one does. We don't know who keepers are. Can I take just a minute? I'm done. I promise. I ain't got no more outline. I'm done. Jude said, I'm praying for you. I want mercy. I want peace. And I want love to be multiplied. Not multiplied so much to you as in you. That's what this is really saying. I was in a meeting, had a meeting not too far from here in Georgia. And a young preacher. Normally when I'm having to preach a meeting, I don't like, and this is no knock on anybody, it's just my makeup and my nature. I got a one-track mind when I come to a meeting. It's about the meeting, and I come 30 minutes before the meeting starts, everybody's going to tell me every one of their problems. And I'll just get off track. And so I mean, even at church, I walk out just about time for end of the service, for the service to start. I said, if y'all want to talk to me after the meeting. But don't mess with me before a meeting. And leave your preacher alone before service. Don't mess with him when you're fixing the worst time you can tell him about your problems is just before he gets in the pulpit. So I normally walk in these revival meetings just about time. Just I tell you what, I don't want to go in there 2 minutes. Well, I say, I'm sorry, you ain't got to preach. Sometimes I think I'm going to let her preach, just see how it is. This time I happened to walk in a little early, young preacher. He's sitting up here, piano's over here, and he's sitting on the piano bench. I never do this, but I did that night. I walked up, and there's a chair sitting over here, and I sat down over here, and he's sitting on the bench. I said, "Well, how's it going, preacher?" He said, "I'm doing good. Doing good." I said, "Okay." Start it up. I mean, I picked up on it. I knew something. But before he could tell me, this fellow walked in the door and he come in. He went down. He sat about halfway down. Had an earring in his ear. Young fellow. And I got about right here on the platform. He said, "Hey, preacher." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You see that?" I said, "See what?" He said, "Come here. Come here. Come here, preacher." He said, "You see that boy back there with that earring just come in?" I said, "No, I didn't see him. Where's he at?" He said, "He's right over there on the far side, about middle way." He said, take a peek at him." So I went to my seat sitting over here. So I peeked that way. Sure enough, he's sitting there with an earring. He come down and sat beside me. He said, "Lane," he said, "reckon what I ought to do, preacher." I said, "What you mean, about the meeting?" "Oh, preacher, what should I do about that boy back there with that earring?" I said, "What you want to do to him?" He said, "Well, preacher, I got to do something." I said, "Why have you got to do something?" I said, "Has he got a gun?" I mean, he done got me scared. He said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "Well, go ask him." He said, "Preacher, you know what I'm talking about." He said, "He got that earring. Is it one of my gun?" I said, "Leave him alone." He said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Dead serious." I said, "My God, leave him alone. I'll preach Jesus to him in a few minutes and maybe he'll get saved. Leave him alone. You ain't got to throw him in the choir. But dear God, let God multiply a little love in you. Let God multiply a little mercy in you. Let God share a little peace with somebody else through you." Same church, same night. I'm not lying to you, same night. I didn't know whether I ought to go back the next night or not. I got in the pulpit, man, sitting right over there just in front of him. There's an old gal sitting there. Preacher, I hadn't seen her in 35 years. I thought to myself, anybody here named Shaw? Last name, named Shaw. Anybody here kin to any Shaws? Raise your hand. Okay. I said in my heart, in my mind, I said, "Dear Lord, that's Linda Shaw. I ain't seen her in 35 years. When I stepped out of the pulpit and went down over there and got done preaching, I leaned, I said, "Gail, did you see Linda Shaw back in?" She said, "Who?" I said, "Don't you remember old Rick?" I said, "Y'all cover your youngin's ears up, would you?" I said, "Do you remember the night I got in that gunfight after picked you up?" "Yeah." I said, "You remember Red Shaw, the one I got in the fight with?" I said, "That's a brother." I said, "Man, I ain't seen her." So, I was glad to see her. It didn't bother me. I went to the door with the preacher like he asked me to. And just the little girl come out. She dropped a piece of paper or something. I bent over to pick it up to hand it to her. When I did, I looked up, and there's Linda Shaw right here. She said, "You know who I am?" I mean, just like that. I said, "Yeah, I know who you are. You Linda Shaw." She said, "I was hoping you wouldn't know me. I had a facelift." I said, "Well, it didn't do nothing for you." I mean, God loves ugly. She is. She's one of the ugliest women you'll ever lay eyes on. Well, I said, Linda, I said, where's Red? Said he died last year. Oh, Linda. I said, did he ever get saved? I don't know. I said, Linda, what are you doing here? Saw your name on the sign out at the highway. I just wanted to see if it was you.
Yeah.
I said, look at me. I said, is it me? She said, it's you. I said, Linda, do you go to church here? No. Do you go to church anywhere? No. I said, oh, why don't you come back tomorrow night? You going to be here? I'll be here tomorrow night. I'll be here Friday night. She said, I'll be back. I'll be back. There was another preacher there that night visiting. He was standing about far from here, that mic from me while this conversation's going on. She walks out the door. He walks over and says, do you know who that is? I said, yeah, I know who it is, Linda Shaw. And you just invited her back. I said, dear God, man, what's wrong with y'all around here? I said, what are we here for? Linda Shaw come back. She come back Thursday night. I mean, ugly. Lord God, she's ugly. Looked at me, mean as a snake while I was in the pulpit. She could have chewed nails. But Friday night, she had a different look on her face. And I got up to preach, and before I could get two sentences out, Linda Shaw hit the aisle, running. And Linda Shaw got saved on Friday night. Jude said, good has God been to y'all. Good has God been to us. Good has God been to me. If God would do this for me and you, why are we not living in awe, wondering why God would have the likes of us and let Him multiply a little mercy and a little love and a little peace through us? I got so much, Brother Boatner, to thank Him for. I wish I could see more people saved, like Linda Shaw. I kind of wish I could have got to see old Red before he died. Never did tell the boy I was sorry for shooting at him. By the way, some of y'all done judged me on my past. What little you know. I made a statement to Miss Gail today. I said, people don't know me and you. I said, we dress like Pentecostals. And our theology is Baptist Bible. I said, if they ever got to know me and you, they'd have to choose to hate us. Well, I got a past. I could tell you things tonight and make the hair stand on your head. The truth is, if you ain't got a past, you ain't got a present. And the likelihood is, if you ain't got neither one of them, you ain't got a future. Where were you at the day the Holy Spirit said, David? David, supper's waiting. I got it on the table. Now, I want to tell you something, Brother David. I found out about my nanny real quick. When she said supper's ready, you either come or you didn't get it. She cleaned the table off, sweep the floor, and you'd do without. God is saying to you, come. You better come. Because He might wipe everything clean. No guarantee He'll call your name tomorrow. And them of us that are saved tonight, we'll be shouting this tabernacle down. God the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth and everything out yonder they can't figure out, took you and picked you up like a little one and set you over here and said, that's mine. That's mine. That's my baby. It's my pet. And you better thank God for your Savior. The Bible says that one day the devil's going to be tried as the accuser of the brethren and thrown into the bottomless pit. The Bible said as accuser of the brethren, he's doing this day and night. The devil's not omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent. He stays in one place, that's before the Father, constantly accusing me and you. But the Bible also said that Jesus ever lives to make intercession. Did you know he's praying for you right now? Instead of asking me to pray for you, why don't you ask Jesus to pray for you tonight? If you ever get him to attach himself to your prayer need, it'll get answered. It'll be done right. The problem is you spend too much time on the phone telling everybody else about your problems and asking them to pray for you, and they never do. When Jesus is praying for you, right now he's praying for us. Well, I'd throw myself at his mercy. Leave out of here sharing that love and mercy and peace with somebody else. I'd like to see some multiplication take place, wouldn't you? Huh? I'm tired of trying to add one here and add one there. I think I'm just going to leave it alone and let God multiply. Yes, sir. Father, thank you for your patience and presence tonight. I feel so insignificant and small. Bible scholars around here and great preachers and I'm glad, Lord, it's not about me. I knew that before I walked under the tabernacle tonight. It's all about you. Tonight, Lord, I pray you'd save that nearest hell tonight. I don't know who you're calling. I have no clue who you're calling tonight. But I ask, Lord, tonight you might continue to call till they come. Help us that have come. Bow in thanks and praise and honor and blessing toward our Savior and our Father in Jesus' name. Stand together, every head bowed, eye closed. Preacher, it's yours. Thank you for the honor and privilege, preacher.